Bibles open there to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I really think that's the only passage we're going to consider tonight. If I change my mind, you'll be the first to know. But we're going to talk about some things that are related to what we're doing here this year as a group for a few minutes tonight. And as you all hopefully still remember, our theme for 2023 is growing in every way. And our charge, therefore, is let us grow in every way into Him. And as it's indicated there in the way we read it out of the ESV, it comes from Ephesians 4, verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. So what we're trying to do together this year is grow up in every way, in every spiritual way. And we talked about this last month when we kicked the year off with our theme, and what we're pursuing then as a group is spiritual maturity. And we pursue it as a group by all of us pursuing it individually. And that's what we're working on together in 2023. To become more like Jesus in every way. I don't know how many of you will remember this, but on the night of the State of the Church, Brother Keith, as he was presenting the theme, he went ahead and outlined or introduced four areas of emphasis for the year. They were on a list, not a graphic, so it may not have stuck with you as much, but I wanted to put that in front of you tonight to think about. So each quarter, we're going to focus on one of those four ideas you see surrounding our theme graphic for the year. We're going to begin this first quarter, March, April, and May, the first quarter for our growth groups meeting, stressing growing in grace and knowledge. What you're going to see, or how we're going to do that, is each quarter there will be some sermons that touch on this idea or the area we're trying to focus on. And hopefully you'll see that integrated into your growth groups, that we'll talk about the ideas that we're trying to emphasize throughout the year. So we'll start with grace and knowledge. We'll work around the graphic there. Next quarter, we'll talk about service. Then in the fall, evangelism. And we'll close the year by focusing on our relationships. But I think you see, it was readily observed last night when we talked about them in our growth group, is they're so interconnected that you start working on one, you end up already working on the others. So it's truly a concerted effort to try to grow in all things. But we're going to begin with grace and knowledge. And now, I know it was announced just a few minutes ago that a couple of the growth groups haven't met yet this month, but a couple have. And if you did, and you were working out of that book we have there, Construction in Progress, you notice, and when you look at the table of contents there, that there is considerable, at least considerable overlap, not perfect matches, but relationship and overlap between the areas of emphasis that we're thinking about this year and those monthly lessons that we're going to study together. And for instance, if you've had your meeting yet, or if you, when you get to it, the first chapter, the first lesson is going to be on building faith. That's where we'll start this year in our growth groups. And again, I know at least a couple of growth groups have already met, so I'm a little bit behind as far as introducing the idea or talking about the idea this quarter. But I want to talk just a little bit tonight about how we grow in grace and knowledge, and then I want to connect that to building our faith. So for a few minutes tonight, what we're going to talk about is grace, knowledge, and faith. And I got to say, the time change has hit me harder this year than usual. Is it just me? Okay. Everybody stretch one time. Let's try to get, let's just focus for a few minutes here and try to get something out of this. Grace, knowledge, and faith. Three big words and three seemingly big concepts. We're not going to be able to cover everything about them exhaustively, but what I really want us to think about again is their connection. So tonight, from our scripture reading, you may have noticed chapter 3 of 2 Peter in verse 18, where Peter there gives instruction to his audience. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's always interesting to realize that any verse like that sits obviously in a context. But when a verse begins with a word like but, you know the author's making a point relative to something else he's talked about. And there in the passage that was read for us, what Peter is saying when he says, but, he's saying instead of, and he's recommending growth instead of being carried away with errors. Look at verse 17 there in our reading. That's what he says. Take care that you are not carried away with error, with the error, and it's error that are promulgated, he says, by lawless people. And if you recall from our reading that together, those errors that they are prone or possible be carried away with by those lawless people or those who lack regard for God's law would be twisting the scripture. If you look in verse 16, you see that. And I want to acknowledge something there. If you look and see, I like how Peter said, Peter actually says this. He goes, Peter's saying, look, some stuff Paul writes is hard to understand. Do you see this, what he's saying there? Isn't that a little bit humanizing that Peter would realize there in the first century, those Christians he's writing to have gotten some letters from Paul. Maybe Romans, I hear people say sometimes. Maybe they got that scroll and somebody read Romans and somebody said, I got a question. But Peter here acknowledges, hey, listen, some of what he writes is hard to understand, but he doesn't say you can't understand it. He doesn't say it's impossible to understand, but he does warn us against twisting the scripture or against being influenced by those without enough regard for God's law that they will twist the scripture. And says the result of that is you will lose your own stability. You know what the word stability means? And here it's in reference to your faith. You want to have this understanding of his faith, be built up in the faith, and then start doing something that undermines what you know, what you understand, what you're standing in. That faith that Paul preached, that faith that they received, that faith that Peter preached, the faith that Christians received and stand in. There's always the risk of being carried away, and there's always the risk of losing our stability. So Paul is offering a solution for that. Or really, he's offering a preventative. If you sit there tonight, you're thinking, I don't want to be carried away in erroneous teaching. If you're sitting there and say, you know, I don't want to find myself in some place where I lose the stability of my faith, the answer is not to wait till you're challenged with something. Peter says the answer is to grow. So you see how it's proactive? That's how you prevent those other things from happening. And I'm going to blow your mind here with a deep academic definition of what the word grow means. It means become greater in size. I know Grant's surprised, aren't you? But it's really included that because the word maturity is in there. Do you see? So it's not strictly limited to physical growth, but maturity is something that's recognized here. And we know we're talking about it when we talk about growth. And we're talking about spiritual maturity. And the definition goes on to make the observation about the way this idea is used in the New Testament. Growth is key to authentic discipleship. If I'm going to be a follower, if I'm going to be a true follower of Jesus, I am going to grow. You're going to grow. And in fact, it's a requirement. Again, if you look at what Jesus says about kingdom citizenship and about being one of his disciples, the Lord requires nonstop progress, nonstop development, nonstop growth in the life of faith. But I want you to notice, doesn't require perfection. All right? But it does require progress. So Peter says, hey, if you want to protect yourself, grow. And then he goes on to say, grow in grace. Verse 18 there, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wonder how you respond to that. When you read that you have been given a charge to grow in the grace of our Lord, does that puzzle us? I think it can, because I think so often we think, wait, how can I grow in the grace of the Lord? How can I grow in something that is a gift from God? I want to suggest to you that to the extent that we struggle with that idea or think about it that way, we may not have a full understanding of the word that is translated grace very often in the New Testament. And what I want to suggest to you here is Peter uses this word. It doesn't come with these high theological undertones or overtones that we're accustomed to, really, this side of the Protestant Reformation, where the word grace is used. Grace was a common first century word. The Greek word charis was a common first century word. And people would have responded to it that way when Paul wrote it or when Peter wrote it. And grace here, particularly as Peter uses it, simply means favor. And a word is used that way elsewhere in the New Testament. It's even translated that way. If you were to turn to, you don't have to, but if you were to turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, speaking of Jesus there, this same word, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." The word translated favor there is charis, the same word that's often translated grace. And it's translated grace here in 2 Peter 3:18. So Jesus grew in grace with God and man. Or in Acts chapter 13 and verse 43, talking about when Paul and Barnabas were leaving a group of Christians they've been studying with, it says, "And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God." So wait, how can Paul tell you to continue in something that somebody else gives? So if you just think about grace in that way we normally think about it, that's a little bit hard to understand maybe. But what Paul is telling these people is he's urging them to continue in the favor of God. And I think that makes it more understandable for us. Because what we need to understand about grace is this, is while God's grace is undeserved, it is not unconditional. And that's why you can be encouraged to grow in it. That's why you can be encouraged to stay in it. That's why you can be encouraged to continue in the grace, in the favor of God. And during the next 3 months, I intend to unpack that idea about understanding grace more the way they did in first century in some additional lessons and time we'll spend together. But I want you to, for our purposes tonight, just to think about that instruction there in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace simply means to grow in the things that find grace with God. Grow in the things that find favor with God, and I think we understand that. And we really don't have to go, we can stay with Peter's writing to see how that works out. If you were to look back in the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 2, beginning of verse 19, Peter wrote this. He says, "For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God." And I just wanted to emphasize to you that two times I have bolded there, that's just the word grace. That's the same word, charis, that's so often translated grace. And what Paul makes the point there says, you can do this thing, and God sees that as gracious. Again, we could do something to ingratiate ourselves to God. And that's really clear when you look at other translations of that same word. If you were to read New King James, or if you're reading even the NIV, both times where it says gracious in the ESV, it would say commendable. What does that mean? It's something that commends you to God by doing that thing. Here, by suffering unjustly, that commends you to God. And then our point is really made by the way it's worded in the New American Standard. What Paul here in the ESV says is a gracious thing. The New American Standard translates that word, says if you do that, you find favor with God. So we're told to grow in the grace of the Lord is simply grow in the things that find favor with God. And if I'd begun this lesson just by saying, hey, list for me a few of the things that you think find favor with God, you'd be able to do that, wouldn't you? You could turn that piece of paper over and start writing things that you know would find favor with God. And what I would say to you is, that's how you grow in the grace of the Lord. And that's what Peter is saying there. In fact, this expectation that grace, or the grace of God, is something you grow in, that's how Peter begins this letter. the letter begins, and really if you think about it, when we read this, you're going to see it. A lot of the epistles begin this way, where the authors wish for the recipients to grow in God's grace. Peter's letter here begins with his desire for the grace or favor of God for this audience. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, again, very familiar language. A lot of the letters start this way. He says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. An implication there is you can live in such a way that becomes a grace multiplier. And you live in such a way that makes your life, you enjoy the peace that comes with being a grace multiplier. And as we think about that idea, this is where it intersects with one of the other words we talked about. Because grace is appropriated through faith. So if you see that chart, you say, well, he says grow in grace. How do I grow in grace? Let me suggest to you, you grow in grace by growing your faith. You go over to the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 5, in verse 2, Paul tells the Romans this. He says, talking about Christ, through him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You see, what faith gave them was access into God's grace. So whatever I can do toward my faith, that active, obedient faith, grow in my faith, because faith, my faith, it's God's grace, but it's my faith, it's your faith that appropriates or gives you access then to that grace. Because again, God's grace is undeserved, but it's not unconditional. And Paul says here, you're faith gives you access to that grace. And understanding that really makes the passage over to Ephesians chapter 2 that seem a little daunting sometimes a lot easier to understand. Paul there writing about their salvation says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Paul says, you know, God was doing us a favor. It's by grace that you have been saved. And the favor was he lets us be saved through faith. Do you see that? And this not of your own doing. The favor is that God isn't judging us right based on our works. Verse 9, not as a result of works. But instead, God is judging us right based on the basis of our faith. And that's a demonstration of his grace. And how gracious is that? That I don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. Just got to be faithful. So grace is appropriated through faith. And again, just continue with the idea of how they're connected. How do we get faith? You all know the answer to this, and you could all probably went there automatically and blurted it out. We can all quote Romans 10:17, can't we? For faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. Now we won't go there and do this tonight, I don't think, because I told you we wouldn't turn the page. But you notice how that verse begins with a so. And I think it's important to realize then Paul's doing something with that verse. That verse is in a context. So if you want to not feel like, well, I've just got this one verse I always throw out there, Romans 10:17, I'm not sure what's going on there, go back and read Romans chapter 10. And what you see is a continual linkage of hearing and belief. And that, so Paul is summarizing that by the time he gets to verse 17. That is how can they believe if they haven't heard? How can they hear unless someone preaches to them? Paul says, but they all have not believed our report. They haven't obeyed the gospel, but they heard. So Paul is making an entire case about God's plan was for mankind to hear the gospel and that bring them to faith. And you know, Romans isn't the only place you can see that principle. You go over to the book of 1 Corinthians and there you will find out that it was by the foolishness of the message preached that God intended to bring people to Jesus. That God intended to spread the gospel. That God intended to build faith. So faith comes through knowledge. Knowledge of the Word of God. So Romans 10:17 tells us the source of our faith, but it also tells us how to feed our faith, how to grow our faith through increased knowledge of the Word of God. So how do these things all fit together? And I think just to demonstrate that, we'll just stay with Peter's writings. This is actually from 2 Peter, but the rest of the verse we've already looked at. He says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. But look how it's going to happen. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Do you see the relationship that's developing there? The more I know about God and the more I know about Jesus, the more I can live my life in such a way that brings His favor onto me, lets me know I'm in His favor, and that brings me peace. It allows me to be at peace with God. That's where Peter is going to write. And you're familiar with this, but think about the connection here. Back in 1 Peter says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. And we talked last night in our group how you start with faith, right? Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, you wouldn't be a Christian. So faith is the foundation on which Christians build. And on that foundation you build, you add to your faith virtue and virtue with knowledge. And so you see that connection again between faith and knowledge. And we all understand, I think, and recognize, we talk about these Christian graces, that it's not something you ever get to the end and go, done. I've done all these things. I've added all these things. Why is that? Because your foundation keeps growing. And you just got to keep on building. Because your faith increases as your knowledge increases. And as your experience of living out your faith increases. And Peter brings that section to the end by saying this, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want you to see this, that Peter paints a picture here. He understands that knowledge is intended to be fruitful. It's intended to be effective. Your knowledge is supposed to produce something. And that's Peter's idea here. And that's why he wants them to grow in knowledge. And knowledge will build your faith. And faith is your access to God's grace. So how do these things all fit together? And this is the conclusion. This is the last slide, I think. Here's all I want you to think about as we put these big concepts, faith, grace, knowledge, but we're really just talking about how they fit together. We're really just looking at the seams here. And here's how I think we should think about it. As we grow in our knowledge of what the Lord has done for us, we'll grow our faith. Won't we? The more I understand that end-to-end plan, the more I understand what God has done for me, the more you understand what God has done for you, you'll grow your faith. And as our faith grows, we'll grow in our love for God and His Son. The better we understand what He's done for us, the more we'll appreciate it. The more we appreciate it, the only response is love. Reciprocating what He's shown us. For God so loved the world. As our faith grows, we'll grow in our love for God and in our love for Christ. And as our love for God and Christ grows, we want to live lives that manifest that. We'll grow in holy and godly living. When this book ceases to be an abstract piece of literature that I pick up a couple times a week and becomes the roadmap for my life, we'll grow in holy and godly living when we put it to practice. And when we grow in holy and godly living, Peter would tell us we will grow in the grace of the Lord. We will grow in the favor of the Lord. We'll grow in those things that find favor in the Lord. That's what we're working on this year. That's what we're all trying to do together. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see that? We can do that. We can grow in the things that find favor. We can grow in the grace of our Lord. And when you think about that, when you reflect on, when your knowledge increases, and you reflect on everything that God has done for us, and you get to the place in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 where you see this injunction that if I want to protect that, if I don't want to be carried away, if I don't want to lose my stability, I am going to get proactive and I'm going to begin growing. Then how can you not join Peter in this, exclaiming the second half of this verse? To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. What about you this evening? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord? Is there something we can do to help you with that? If there is, let us know now by coming forward while we stand and while we sing.